Good morning. I hope this message finds you well. Today's message is from the passage in the book of Luke, or the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus healed a crippled woman on a Sabbath day. It starts in Luke chapter 13, in verse 10 to 17, and it says, "On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over, and she could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, 'Woman, you are set free from your infirmity.' And then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, 'There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath.' And the Lord answered him, 'You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and leave it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?' And when he had said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with the wonderful things that he was doing." So let's do a little bit of background as to this passage. We have to note, first of all, that this is in a synagogue. This is not in the temple. This was a practice that Christ was commonly doing in the area for quite a few years. As it says here in Luke 4, verse 16, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom, and he stood up to read. Later on in that same chapter, it reminds us that it was from synagogue to synagogue that Jesus went and taught. Now, a synagogue is not some fantastic structure. A synagogue, just in Jerusalem alone, in the city of Jerusalem, there were over 350 synagogues at the time. It really is just a place of meeting, as the Greek word represents. It also served as a place for religious instruction, communal halls for civic functions, and it was always under the direction of a council of elders. It was typically a small structure that was built on a rise above a neighboring house, near neighboring houses. And inside the synagogue, opposite the entrance, a portable ark would contain the scroll of the laws and prophets. And in front of it, facing worshipers, were the chief seats for the religious leaders. For public worship, which was conducted on the Sabbath, a minimum of 10 adult males had to be in attendance. A service usually was conducted in sort of a order of service of five parts. There was a prayer section, psalms, singing, blessings, readings from scriptures, and commentaries on the sacred passages, but there were no sacrifices, and there was no standard liturgy that was read each day. Although a rabbi might be recognized as the leader because of his teaching, there was no official clergy. In fact, any Jew who felt himself qualified could ask for permission to teach the scriptures, just as Jesus did. So this was in a synagogue. And when did this happen? It took place on a Sabbath day. And of course, on the Sabbath was one of the commandments to be kept. It was a commandment that said there was to be no work. And they had instituted many additional rules: how far one could travel, how you were to take care of your animals, and, as I mentioned, no work. In fact, one of the commentaries, John Gill, writes, he says, there were various rules concerning leading out animals and being able to lead them to water, but not only to drink it, but also to wash their chains or their lead lines. They needed washing, and that had to be or could be done on a Sabbath day. That they would allow that not only a beast may be led out to watering, but a man might fill a vessel of water and pour it out into a trough for it. So there was some kind of work. Of course, that was the work of taking care of their animals. Today, there are Sabbath rules. Some of the Shabbat laws that are still in force, that are maintained and kept by Orthodox Jews, include that you are not allowed to read or, you're not allowed to write or erase or tear anything to do with writing. No business transactions, no driving or riding in cars, no shopping, no using the phone, no turning on or off anything that uses electricity, including lights and radios, televisions, computers, air conditioners, and alarm clocks. No cooking, no baking or kindling a fire, no mowing of your lawn. It goes on and on and on. That was not the intention, of course, for Christ. He made it very clear in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, where he says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." It was actually meant to be a day of rest, a day of rest from the burdens of life. In Matthew 11, verse 28, Christ also said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So the Sabbath was a time of rest, a time to be relieved of a burden or burdens. So who was there during this episode in a synagogue where this woman was being healed? Of course, Jesus Christ was there, but they didn't look at him as a person of authority or even the Messiah. Their thought was he was just the carpenter's son, as it says in Matthew 13, verse 55. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judah? So they didn't respect him as some person of authority, certainly not at the beginning. And then, of course, this poor woman. She was short. She had been visiting the synagogue for over 18 years. Her shortness was not due to something that she, her inheritance, like it wasn't something she had inherited. It was a disease that she had. Some commentators today would have called it suffering from an affliction called spondylitis deformis, which causes the bones of a spine to fuse into a rigid mass. And of course, then the person would be totally bent over. This poor woman would always be looking down. She could look sideways, but she could never look up. Very humbling position to be in, very restrictive to be bowed down like that. And the other key player in this story, of course, is the synagogue leader. He, as we read, he became very, in verse 14, he became very indignant, rebuking Jesus for healing on the Sabbath, even though, as Christ pointed out, oxen and donkeys could be led to water. They could wash their lead shanks, sort of like, it's okay, you could wash your car today, but you can't do any work. Maybe not a good example, but certainly one that, you know, the leaders were trying to stick to the law. You know, the ruler of that synagogue was more concerned about being right than having compassion for the sick and infirm. This man showed that mercy to a beast, but was not able to show mercy to a person, showing his lack of love for God and love for his neighbor. So let's take a look at some of the other observations that we can find in this passage. This poor woman, having suffered for 18 years in pain and suffering, restricted mobility, she must have been an extremely faithful person to continually go to the synagogue every week for 18 years and still not be healed. The Sabbath rules there were made by man, just as today and in some churches You know, we have our rules. Some churches still want people to dress in a certain way, use or not use makeup. They have their long list of things that are allowed or not allowed, or considered appropriate or inappropriate in their church. Their intentions are good, but as it says in Judges chapter 21, every man does what is right in his own eyes. You have to wonder, what did this woman think when she was called by Jesus Christ? Especially when he says, come forward and let me set you free. He had been known to heal other times. He had 12 other times in the Bible that it is recorded that he did healings. 7 times of those were also on the Sabbath. The other observation is that leader, the synagogue leader, he spoke to the people, but he never really confronted and spoke to Christ, to his face. He was indignant. He had been humiliated when Christ answered him, but he certainly wasn't repentant. The woman, interestingly enough, did not praise Jesus Christ. She praised God. She gave God the credit, not the person who laid hands on her. And the other interesting part is that the people were delighted for the healing. They were appreciative of the healing, not because that the leaders were humiliated. They weren't happy to see their leaders humiliated, but they were joyful, that they were delighted in the wonderful things that Christ had just done for them, or had done for that woman. So that's the sort of overview of the story. But when we look at it, was there or are there messages for us today because of this story? And I have 2 or 3 of them here that I think we should all consider, that do also impact in our own lives. The first one is, as we came to the end of the story, is that we give God the glory in all circumstances. Just as those people did, we should give credit to whom it is due. After 18 years of pain and suffering, the woman praised God, not the person who laid hands on her. She gave God the glory. The second part of this message is a message of compassion and mercy. It was less work to say a few words and to lay hands on a person than to lead an ox or a donkey to water. Yet, unfortunately, people did not have, or those leaders, that they did not have more, or I'm sorry, they had more compassion for their animals than for the sick and the suffering. It seems that sometimes we allow the little rules, opinions, or judgments get in our way of the more important things in life. Those being compassion and mercy. And this story unfortunately showed that leader's lack of love. But there is more. There's much more in this important message. What we see here is a calling, a healing, and freedom. The woman was called by Jesus Christ just as we are called today. The woman did not hesitate to her being called. She had been suffering for 18 years. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." Called to love. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Obviously, this simple story, the purpose was to heal the woman, but we have been called for a greater purpose. The second part is that there was a healing. Just as we are healed today, in 1 Peter chapter 2, 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Jesus Christ. Yes, he lay hands on the woman, but more importantly, he died on a cross so that we are dead to sin, alive to righteousness, and healed. That healing that Christ showed was a taste of the kingdom, the power that Christ has worked throughout history, that he showed and demonstrated by his many healings, and the miracles and recorded in the Gospels were all there to show us and give us a glimpse of the kingdom of God. You know, when that woman had been healed, she must have felt like a brand new person. Just as when we are called and respond to our calling, we, thanks to the power of the Holy Spirit, put off the old self. We put on the new. We become totally new. Totally new. And then the other part that this story demonstrates or illustrates is how we are set free by Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. We are to no longer be bowed down to sin, suffering, or sorrow. We are not to be bent over and bowed down, looking down or sideways and not being able to look up, that we can look up to Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 20, it says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. But what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of, those things that result in death? But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit that you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This story in Luke was Jesus demonstrating the gospel in action and giving us a glimpse of the kingdom of God. He called, he healed, and he set free. You know, Satan puts us into bondage, but Jesus Christ sets us free. Free from death, free from the penalty of sin, freedom to follow God, freedom to be a member of the God family for eternity. Freedom to enjoy peace, healing, love, his presence in our lives. This result is eternal life. This gift, what an amazing gift it is. That God has given us a purpose and that we have been set free thanks to Jesus Christ our Lord. I'd just like to close with a prayer and just say thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for our calling. Thank you for the freedom from the bondage of sin, suffering, and many sorrows. Thank you for the hope of the kingdom. Thank you for this lesson and example of your love. We thank you, great God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us this truth. We thank you for our calling, our healing, and freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.